This is the Riches from the Pages radio broadcast with Evangelist Adam Borden, brought to you by Wahoo Baptist Church in Murrayville, Georgia. We invite you to join us for this time of mining the unsearchable riches of God's Word. And now, Evangelist Adam Borden.
Amen. Looking in our Bibles tonight, the book of Mark, chapter number 1, we'll begin reading verse number 21. If you're there, say amen. And they, this is Jesus and his newly called disciples, they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them, notice these words, as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." I could preach right there on when the devil comes to church. Verse number 25, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." Verse 28, and immediately his fame spread about throughout all the region round about Galilee. Now it's Wednesday night tonight and you are here. It's down near freezing, plumb cold, and it would be very easy for one who is on the borderline of commitment to say, "I believe I'll stay in where it's warm and I'll be fine with that." But you are here on a Wednesday night, and so that indicates, not in a way to puff you up or to shine a light on you, but it indicates something in your life. It means that you have some sort of capacity for the authority of Jesus Christ in your life. Whether it is duty that you come, whether it is obligation that you feel, whether it is love for the Savior and the longing to be with his people and to gather as he has commanded for us in these last days, even the more, or whether it be fear that if you do not, what God might do with his belt of chastisement. It doesn't matter to me what got you here. I'm glad you're here tonight, amen? I'm glad that the authority that Jesus Christ has in our lives motivates us to be in a place like this, gathered with his people, to hear from what thus saith the Lord. Now, I want to focus our attention tonight. I'm very interested in verse number 22. It says, "As they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." If we back up in verse number 11 in this same chapter, we read these words, "And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." I'd like for you to know tonight that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, derived his authority from the Father. There was an authority that was divinely given by God the Father, and you can see that also in John chapter 14, verse 10. Now notice this. It says, as he came in to the synagogue and he took the scrolls, those old ancient texts, that he began to read what we would call in those Old Testament books, that Pentateuch, those writings of Moses and those old prophetic writings, and he began to read, and they said he read and he was as one with authority. They were astonished, not with his charisma. They were astonished, not with his style. They were astonished, not with his volume or his eloquence. They were astonished, not with his looks. For we know, according to the word of God, that he was not attractive that we should look upon him. But they were astonished at his doctrine. The word of God was preeminent when Jesus spoke. It said in verse number 27, look down there, and they were amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." It said they were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished, amazed at his doctrine and with his authority. As I'm reading this, I'm thinking to myself, these are the dedicated Jews. These are the ones who are gathering at the synagogue. Surely for the expanse of their life, they have heard those scriptures read over and over again, and many times by the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. Had they not heard these scriptures before? Had they not read out of these passages before? But somehow there was a difference when Jesus Christ read these words, and it said, and he made a distinction there, that they were astonished at his doctrine. Was his doctrine different from what was usually taught? Or was it that maybe he read things that the Pharisees and the scribes skipped over? Maybe they didn't cover things that were controversial. Maybe he went right to, it's not designated in this passage here. There's a parallel passage over in Luke we might look at over in chapter number 4. But we don't know for sure what scripture it was that he read. But whatever it was that he read, it caught their attention and they were astonished at his doctrine. But this was no new scripture. There was no newly written scripture. His birth, his life, His sacrificial death, his ministry, his resurrection would be recorded as scripture, but not as yet. There was no new doctrine. It was just that the doctrine he read was his doctrine. That 1828 Webster's Dictionary defines doctrine as this. It's a noun from the Latin, and it means to teach. In a general sense, whatever is taught. Hence, a principle or position in any science whatsoever, whatever is laid down as true by an instructor or a master. Amen. The doctrines of the Gospels are the principles of truth taught by Christ and his apostles. That definition is not found in the new Webster's Dictionary, but it is in that 1828. Amen. It says it is the teachings, the gospel, and the principles and the truth taught by Christ. They were amazed at his doctrine. Oh, would to God that people would stream out of a church house on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning and not say, what great choir singing, not what great preaching, not what great fellowship, but oh, what doctrine we've heard today, what truth we've heard today, what truth we've given into our lives today by the holy word of God, the doctrine. It was a truth, though, at the beginning of our existence in humanity that Eve fell in part because of false doctrine. When Satan said, hath he said? Hath God said? He didn't mean it like that. A little false doctrine got us all into sin. A little false doctrine by the devil ended us up in a sinful condition, in a body that is aging unto death and plagued with disease. A little false doctrine. But I want to move on. They were astonished at his doctrine. There was the authority of his delivery of the scripture. Why was it? I would point it to you in this way. I've heard Beulah Land sung about 17,500 times in my life. I've heard every Tom, Dick, and Harry and their second cousin Lewis sing Beulah Land, but I've never heard Beulah Land sung like it's sung by the writer, Squire Parsons. Nobody can sing Beulah Land like Squire Parsons because he wrote it. He is the writer. He is the author. He created that song through the creative power that God gave him. And so it could be, my friend, I would submit to you that the authority that they were sensing, the authority that they were discerning, is because it wasn't some hireling scribe who was just a copier of the scripture, who was just tasked with the recounting of the scripture, who was supposed to be an expert or a master over the scripture. No, it was not one of those. It was the author himself. The words of the scribes were words that came from mouths that had impurity in them because they were human beings of the natural sort. However, there was never a lying word, never a trifling word, never an idle word that proceeded out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. His words came with the authority because he is not just the reader of the word. He is the Word of God. John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Revelation 19, 13. When he's coming back, it said he had a name, the Word of God. He is the Word of God. They said he spoke as one that had authority. Notice this, though, in our verse tonight, verse 22. And not as the scribes. There is no comparison to his authority. There is no comparison to his authority. Not as the scribes, a la a court clerk or a lawyer. I've seen it a few times on television. I never have had the displeasure of having to be involved in some sort of trial in court, but I've watched, you know, enough little Matlock and things of that nature, you know, from days gone by. And they would, yeah, Perry Mason, Ironsides. Anyhow, you're an old geezer if you know all this. But they would call on the court clerk to read that last part. And that court clerk, she's sitting over there. She's writing everything that. And she just goes back and reads it. The defendant said, no, it was not me. I'm innocent. Let me out of here. She's reading it. It's her job to get it accurate. But she has no authority in those words. She has no authority. He has no authority. Excuse me, feminist. They have no authority over those words. They're just recounting and retelling it, you see. It's not their words. They're just copying it down. And the scribes, it must have been a common thought and perception of the scribes that even before Jesus' power and authority was on display that day, that the scribes were just reading it off. That there wasn't any power behind their delivery. I used to be in sales. There's a principle that I learned in my short stint in trying to be a salesman. That is this. You never accept no from someone who's not authorized to give you a yes. Let me say that again. You never accept no from somebody. Somebody can't say, no. When they don't even have the authority to give you a yes. The scribes did not have the authority over the word. They were under the authority of the word. You hear what I'm saying? They were under the authority of the word. There was no comparison to Jesus' word and his authority. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I tried to do some scripture memorization last year, and I can't get it all in one fell swoop like I did last year in Awana time. But I do remember Jesus saying this many times in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He said, you have heard it said, but I say unto you. You have heard it said, but I say unto you. See, Jesus said, you might have heard all kind of interpretations of things. You might have heard everybody's opinions of things. You might have heard some people's judgment on what this word says. But let me tell you what I say, because I am the authority of that word, because I am this word. There's no comparison to the authority of Jesus Christ versus the hireling. Versus the correctors of Scripture. Oh my, don't get me started on that. Let's move quickly. Amen. I want to just stop for a minute and just talk about this thought of the authority of Jesus Christ, the authority of God. We have seen man put his name to many things, and we perceive our own authority. Our president has his name on buildings all over this world, hotels and buildings and things of that nature. There's presidents who have come and gone whose names are residing on monuments and buildings and places all over this country and all over this world. Their names reside on places. We perceive an authority that we have. We perceive the ability to create things. But in the reality, all we're doing is manipulating and putting together the things that God has already created.
Our prayer is that the Word of God has done a work in you today. For more information on the ministry of Evangelist Adam Borden, go to evangelistadamborden.com, spelled B-O-R-D-E-N, and click on the contact page, or you can call 615-785-5682. Join us next time as we find riches from the pages of God's Word with Evangelist Adam Borden.